Hey, I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to consider this question this evening in regards to missions, in regards to missions revival. What is it that God wants me to do? I want everyone to entertain that question. I am so for missions conferences. Let me give you a quick testimony as you're finding your place in Hebrews chapter 11. I am so for missions conferences. When I went to Mount Vernon Baptist Temple, they had not had a missions conference. We had about $10,000 coming out of our general fund to go towards missions. And I was very thankful for that. But I had a friend introduce me to the missions conference, and he came and he preached our missions conference, and he asked our church family to just simply do this. He said, hey, would you just simply pray about what God wants you to give to missions in the upcoming year, in the upcoming months? Just pray on top of tithes and offering. Just pray about how God wants to use you to give specifically to missions. Just you personally giving specifically to missions. That first conference, at the end of the conference, church family tonight, listen, our church family said that they were going to give $42,000 to the gospel going around the world in that upcoming year. Now, I'm telling you what, that was absolutely amazing. That was a miracle in my mind. I mean, to get church family members giving directly to the gospel going around the world instead of it coming out of the general fund, that was a big blessing to me. It really was. And so I'm all for missions revivals, missions conferences. I'm all for the Christian individually giving so that the gospel can go around the world. The way I see it, it is this. It is the only way I can receive credit for the uttermost is giving personally so that the gospel can go. Not that it's all about credit. And so I'm asking you tonight to consider this with me, this question: what does God want me to do specifically as a result of this conference? Maybe it's to pray more. Maybe it's to give more. Maybe it is to be willing to go. Lord, I want to remind you that I'm willing to go if you want me to go. I don't know. Maybe it is to witness more and to be salt and light. But again, I want each and every one of us, myself included, to ask this question: what is it that God wants me to do as a result of our missions revival this year? With that in mind, look with me at Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. Now, most of us will understand that this is the great faith chapter, the great hall of faith, if you will. And there are so many things that we could preach on and preach about from this text. We could preach about the meaning of faith as we consider many facets of faith in this text. We could talk about the models of faith. We could preach for a year of Sundays on the models of faith, and that has been done. We could talk about the menace or the enemy of faith. We could talk about the miracle of faith in verse number 6. But here's what I want to talk about for just a few minutes tonight. I want to look at the manifestation of faith. The manifestation of faith, or the evidence of faith. If you like alliteration, we could call it birthmarks of belief. But let's take a few minutes and look at this truth from this text, the manifestation of faith. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our time together. Father, we need your help. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, Father, for how our hearts have been blessed already by being in your house. We thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for the music. How the music has blessed my heart today. We're so thankful for that. Father, we pray now that you would use the power of your word and the power of your spirit to do a spiritual work in our lives. Father, we believe with all of our heart that decisions can be made this week at Calvary Baptist Church, decisions that can last for eternity. eternal decisions. And we pray, Lord, that each and every one of us will be open to that. Bless our time together, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. I heard a story one time about a sweet little old lady that had a unique custom. She would go out on her front porch every morning and shout at the top of her lungs, "Praise the Lord." Now, she did this every day, and as the story is told, an atheist neighbor moved in next door, and the atheist neighbor hated, despised this lady's tradition. And so every morning she would go out on her front porch. She would shout at the top of her lungs, "Praise the Lord." And he would growl back, "There ain't no Lord." And this went on day in and day out. Well, one day this lady fell on hard times and she ran out of groceries. And she went out on her front porch and she started her day with a hearty "Praise the Lord." And then she audibly broke into prayer and said out loud, "Lord, you know I need groceries. I'm asking you to provide, and I'll thank you in advance for what you're going to do. Amen." The next day she woke up, went out on her front porch. Lo and behold, 3 bags of groceries. She started jumping up and down and shouting at the top of her lungs, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord." About the third "Praise the Lord," that atheist neighbor jumped out from behind a bush and he said, "Aha, I got you this time." He said, "I bought those groceries for you. There ain't no Lord." Well, she got more excited. She started jumping up and down even more, getting even louder, saying, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord." And then she said this. She said, "Lord, thank you for buying the groceries for me, or providing the groceries for me, and even making the devil pay for them. Amen." I know that you know this, but the difference between a believer and an unbeliever is what? It's belief, right? It's simple belief. And if you're here tonight and you're saved, and I trust that you are, you have already taken the greatest step of faith that you could ever take. And that is putting your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone to save you for all eternity. But just because you've done that doesn't mean you're through with faith. For the Christian life is a life of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And so as we look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1, we want to discuss the life of faith. And before we look at an outline, I want to give you 3 fast facts about verse number 1 to kind of set the foundation, or lay the foundation, if you will. And so let's look at 3 fast facts regarding verse number 1 as we look at the manifestation of faith tonight. First of all, from verse number 1, we see this. Faith has evidence. Faith has substance. Have you ever heard anyone say this before? "Well, I have faith, but it's a very private faith. I don't like to talk about it very much." Not to be mean or unkind or unloving, that's not Bible faith. It's not Bible faith. Look at verse number 1 again. "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for." What does that mean? Faith is not shallow. It has substance. Notice what it says. The evidence of things not seen. Not only is faith not shallow, it has substance. Faith is not empty. It has evidence. And so the first thing we see from verse number 1 is this, that faith, without a shadow of a doubt, has evidence, has substance. Fast fact number 2, faith's evidence and faith's substance has a name, and it's called obedience. Now think about that for just a moment. Faith's evidence and faith's substance is called obedience. You say, what is the significance of that? Well, the significance of that is this. We love to talk about faith, but we don't always love to talk about obedience. But according to the Bible, you can't separate the two. James says faith without works is dead. Faith without action, faith without obedience is a dead faith. We sing it as children. Obedience is the very best way to show that we what? That we believe. We sing it as older children, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So you can't separate faith and obedience. They go together. Fast fact number 1, faith has evidence, faith has substance. Fast fact number 2, faith's evidence and faith's substance is called obedience. And then fast fact number 3, it's not always easy to obey. It's not always easy to obey. You say, well, I know that to be true. But what I'm trying to get us to understand is this. When you look at the models of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, God required these individuals to do some pretty challenging things. Let me ask you a question tonight. We'll start with the invitation. Here's a question. What is it that you know, without a shadow of a doubt, God wants me to do, but it's difficult for you to do? It would take a step of faith. Maybe it's to get baptized. Maybe it's to get involved with the ministry of the church. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Brother Bill, I know without a shadow of a doubt, God wants me to get involved with a certain ministry, and I have 1,001 reasons why I don't want to do it. It would take a step of faith. Maybe it's to give monetarily to a project of the church. You say, Brother Bill, I even know the amount God wants me to give, but to write that check, boy, that would take a step of faith. Maybe it's to witness to someone. Maybe it's to witness to a difficult person. Hey, how about this one? Maybe it's to forgive someone. Pastor, I believe that one of the great sins of the church today, in America anyway, is bitterness. I really do. And I know I didn't pastor very long. 15 years isn't long compared to many. But in the 15 years that I was at Mount Vernon Baptist Temple, I am convinced that one of the great sins of the church today is bitterness. What does that mean? That means someone at some time did something to you. It could have been 30 years ago, and you still have not let go and let God. You have still not pounded the gavel in the throne room of your heart and said, you are free to go. I forgive you. And every time we walk into the church house, there's this cloud of bitterness over our head. Maybe it's to forgive someone. Maybe it's in regards to surrender. You know, without a shadow of a doubt, God wants you to surrender to whatever He has for you, and you still have not done it. Maybe it's regards to giving to missions in the upcoming months. You know how much God wants you to give, and you say, oh, Brother Bill, that would take some faith. I don't know what it is, but I'm starting with the invitation tonight. What is it that you know without a shadow of a doubt God wants you to do, and it's difficult for you to do? It would take a step of faith. With that in mind, look with me at three evidences of faith from Hebrews chapter 11. We can't look at all of them. We're going to just pick three. But notice with me, number one, if you're taking notes, according to Hebrews 11, sometimes faith, number one, sometimes faith is obeying God when it does not seem logical. Let me say that again. According to Hebrews 11, sometimes faith is just taking the step of obedience, even though it doesn't seem logical, or it doesn't seem like it makes sense, or it doesn't add up in our mind. Let me show you what I mean. Look at verse number seven. Would you look there with me, please? By faith, Noah, this is amazing. Noah, being warned of God of what? Things not seen as yet. Comprehend that for just a moment. Think about that for just a moment. What is that talking about? Let me illustrate. Noah built an ark. Okay, what's an ark? He didn't know what an ark was. Well, Noah, an ark is something you need when there's a flood. And Noah would say, okay, what's a flood? And we would say, Noah, you know, stay with us, focus, Noah. A flood is something that takes place when there's a lot of rain. And Noah would scratch his head and look at you right in the eye and say, what is rain? Do you see what I'm saying tonight? Sometimes faith is just taking the step of obedience, even though we don't have it all figured out up here. Let me give you a more modern day illustration. All right. I believe giving is a modern day illustration of this. You say, I would rather build an ark than talk about giving. I understand. Trust me, I understand. But just think about this for a moment. Do you remember you had just been saved a while and someone taught you about giving to the Lord first? Whenever we get paid, whenever God gives us something, we are to give to the Lord first. And I believe that that's a very biblical principle. This is what you thought. You say, how do you know what I thought back then? Because we all think the same way. Here's what we think. If the very first check I write when I get paid is to the Lord first, at the end of the month, I won't have any money left over for this, that, or the other. And guess what? On paper, you would be absolutely correct. But you've just thrown faith right out the window. And all over the sanctuary tonight, we could have testimony after testimony after testimony of Christians that would stand and say, you know what, Brother Bill, even though I didn't understand it at the time, when I trusted God with my finances and put Him first, God has blessed every step of the way. Even though it didn't make sense at the time. All I'm simply trying to say is this. Sometimes faith is just saying, God, I don't understand it all, but I'm going to trust You and I'm going to do what You tell me to do. By the way, we use this all the time out there. We use this all the time out in the world. You say, how so? Someone wrote this once. I think it was very creative. Someone said, you go to a doctor you've never met. He writes a prescription you probably can't read. Forgive me if you're a doctor here tonight. You take it to a pharmacist you don't even see, and they give you a chemical compound that you most likely don't understand. And guess what you do? You do the same thing I do. You obey the what? The prescription. Hey, we use that all the time out there. May God help us to use it in here, even more importantly, in our heart of hearts. Sometimes faith is just simply saying, God, I don't understand it all, but I'm going to take You at Your word and I'm going to trust You and I'm going to obey, even though it doesn't seem logical. Number two, think about this with me. Not only is faith sometimes just obeying God when it doesn't seem logical, but think about this. Number two, sometimes faith is obeying God when it's not comfortable. Oh, wow. Sometimes faith is obeying God when it's not comfortable. All kinds of illustrations in our text. We could talk about Gideon. 32,000 men down to 300. That had to be a little bit uncomfortable, especially if you were one of the 300, right? We could talk about Joshua. Just keep walking around the walls, Joshua. Just keep walking around, right? They had to come a tumbling down. There was a song written about it. They had to come a tumbling down. Well, he didn't know that. He just kept walking, just kept walking. All kinds of illustrations in our text, but probably none greater than verse 17. Would you look at verse 17? By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Wow. Think about that. Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, offer him as a sacrifice, offer him as a burnt offering. You talk about uncomfortable. Yes, church family, sometimes faith is obeying God even when it's uncomfortable. And by the way, I think we all know this to be true. Do you remember you had just been saved a little while? Do you remember how uncomfortable you were? Maybe it was a Sunday night and the preacher said, hey, who would like to stand and give a testimony tonight? And you were scared to death, but God told you to give a testimony. Your hands were all perspiring. Your mouth got dry. Your heart was beating really fast, but you stood and you gave a testimony because God told you to do it, even though it was uncomfortable. Maybe you remember how uncomfortable it was the first time you gave out a gospel tract. Maybe you remember the first time you wrote that tithe check, how uncomfortable that was. Maybe your hands shook as you wrote it. Maybe you remember the first time that you sang in church, how scared you were, how uncomfortable you were. Maybe you remember the first time you taught that Sunday school class. Maybe there was only 5 children there, but it felt like 5,000. You were scared to death. By the way, Christian, here's a question. Are you ready? When's the last time you've been uncomfortable? Is it that God has stopped asking you to do things? Is it that God has stopped requiring things of you? Or could it be that we're just content to be content and we don't want to be uncomfortable anymore? Sometimes faith is obeying God when it's not comfortable. I grew up horrifically afraid of public speaking. And when I became a pastor, and that's a whole nother sermon, a whole nother topic, and we won't go down that road. But the Lord did a lot of things in my life. And when I became a pastor, one of the hardest things for me to do was this. Are you ready? Hello, my name is Bill, and this is my wife, Amy, and we're just inviting folks to church. Do you know, for 15 years, I had to make myself do that because it didn't come naturally to me. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Brother Bill, I get it. That's me. I'm uncomfortable with that as well. Hey, aren't you glad someone stepped out of your their comfort zone to tell you about Jesus? Don't other people in the community, don't they deserve that same opportunity? Sure they do. Sometimes faith is just obeying God, even though it's uncomfortable. Lastly, number three, consider this with me. Sometimes faith is obeying God when it doesn't seem logical. Sometimes faith is obeying God when it's not comfortable. And then number three, sometimes faith is just obeying God when it's not desirable. You say, what does that mean, Brother Bill? That means this. I know what God wants me to do. I just don't want to. Here's what I'm talking about. We fold our arms and we go, uh-uh. We say in our heart of hearts, I know if I obey God, He's going to bless me, even though it's not logical or even if it's not comfortable. But in my heart of hearts, I just want to be stubborn and I just want to say, uh-uh, I'm not doing that. You say, Brother Bill, give me an illustration of that from our text. Okay, here it is. Every person in the great hall of faith is an illustration of this truth. Why? Because they have something we all have, and that is a will. And when God the Father told them to do something, they had a choice. They could make a decision, yes or no. They could harden their heart or they could humble their heart. They could stiffen their neck or they could humble their heart. But mark it down and please don't miss it. No one would be in the great hall of faith if they didn't learn to say, not my will, but thine be done. They wouldn't be in the great hall of faith if they didn't learn to kick self off the throne of their heart and put the Savior there where he, or the sovereign there where he rightly deserves to be. Sometimes faith is just saying, God, I don't want to, but I'm going to do it because you told me to. By the way, I think all of us who have experienced this know this to be true. When we obey God, even though we don't want to, God in time changes our want to. Amen. Amen. And so sometimes faith is obeying God even when it's not desirable. Sometimes faith is obeying God when it doesn't seem logical, when it's not comfortable, and even when it's not desirable. Forgive me for using the Fennell family as an illustration tonight. It's not a great illustration. I would love to stand before you as the poster child of faith, but it's just not the truth. When God started to work in my life about being a missionary, I must confess to you publicly, I did not want to do it. In my mind, it was not, here it is, logical, comfortable, or desirable. It wasn't logical to resign from a church that I think I could have retired from. It wasn't comfortable saying goodbye to a church family we loved dearly and still love. It was not comfortable jumping into deputation for the first time at age 47 with a boy in college and a family of seven. I was scared to death. I remember thinking in my heart of hearts, I am making the dumbest decision that I could ever make, financially speaking. I remember looking at young missionaries right out of college who didn't have a mortgage and all of the things that came with it. And I had all of that. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to be able to make ends meet. I remember looking at my last paycheck from Mount Vernon Baptist Temple, knowing in 2 weeks I'm going to be starting deputation. And I was scared to death that we weren't going to make it financially. I remember thinking in my heart of hearts, I have five boys that are watching this decision and fearing that I would fail in front of them. I remember that feeling. It wasn't logical in my mind. It wasn't comfortable. And then for many, many, many months, It wasn't desirable. I had so many conversations with the Lord. I remember arguing with God. You don't argue with the Lord. He wins every time. But I remember having conversations like this with God. I remember saying very specifically, Lord, I want it to stated for the record. I don't want to do this, but I will pastor another church if that's what you want me to do. And God said, that's not what I want you to do. And you know that's not what I want you to do. I remember thinking, Lord, I don't want to. I want it stated for the record. I don't want to do this, but I'll work in a Bible college. And God said, that's not what I have for you. I remember even thinking this, and Pastor will appreciate this. I know he will. I remember saying, God, I don't want to do this for the record. I want it to be stated publicly. I don't want to do this, but I will even pastor. I will be a church planting missionary where I could still be a pastor. And God said, that's not what I have for you. There are almost 4,000 languages that are still waiting for a Bible. And I want you to go from church to church to church and raise awareness, raise funds, meet with national pastors and be all about translation work. And I remember the day that the Lord got a hold of my heart and I took the step of obedience. I was sitting in my office at Mount Vernon and a missionary that we supported in the Philippines emailed his prayer letter, his newsletter, and I read it there in my office. And at the very end of his letter, he wrote these words, and it was as if they were just for me only. I wrote them in my Bible. He said this: if you are considering God's calling to foreign missions, do not fear. We can boldly say with the Apostle Paul, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And I remember sitting in my office, tears streaming down my face, and I remember saying, okay, God, I get it. I know what you want me to do. I will take that step of obedience. I'll do what I know you want me to do, even though it doesn't seem logical, even though it's certainly not comfortable, and even though at the time it's not desirable, I will do what you want me to do. And here's the point. God has blessed every step of the way. God has blessed every step of the way. God has met every bill. God has taken care of every need. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. And God has given me a love for what I do. I wouldn't do anything else in the world than what I'm doing right now. You can ask my family. Nothing brings me greater joy in my ministry than going to a church that knows nothing about what we do, about Bible translation, and just raising awareness for the Word of God and the propagation of it. I love what I do, and God gets all the glory for it. In closing, look at verse number 6. It should not surprise us that when we do what God tells us to do, that he will bless us for it. But without faith, verse number 6, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Many TV evangelists will tell you that this is some sort of cotton candy Christianity, some sort of name it, claim it religion, where if you have enough faith, you'll never get sick and you'll have $1 million in the bank. That's absolutely not at all what this verse is saying. This verse is just simply saying that when we do what God tells us to do, we please the Lord. We put a smile on the face of God, and God promises to take care of us. But we must be found faithful. We must be found walking by faith, not by sight. Verse number 6 has taught us, the Fennell family, in this transition from pastor to missionary, this very important truth, and it is this, that God can take care of us better than we can take care of us. God can bless me a whole lot more than I can bless myself. And church family tonight, are you ready for this? God can bless you better than you can bless yourself. But you need to be found in the place of blessing. You need to be found faithful. You need to be found obedient. Years ago, we were having dinner around the table on a Saturday night, and there was a bag of potato chips on the table. And my third son, Chad was just a little tyke at the time, just a little guy. he interrupted Amy and I. Amy and I were talking, and Chad interrupted, and he said, "Daddy, may I have some potato chips?" And I said, "Sure, go ahead." And I kept talking to Amy, and I didn't know this, but he didn't take any potato chips. So a few minutes later, he interrupted a second time, and he said, "Daddy, may I have some potato chips?" I said, "Sure, go ahead." And I kept talking to Amy, and guess what? He didn't take any. So a few minutes later, he interrupted a third time. Now, for all fathers out there tonight, you know that God, it's not our fault. God has only given us so much patience, right? I mean, we are only blessed with so much patience. And so the third time that he interrupted, he said, "Daddy, may I have some potato chips?" And I was like, "What? So what do you want?" And he said, "May I have some potato chips?" And you start having evil thoughts as a father. You start thinking, "I'm going to feed him a potato chip with a slingshot if he doesn't stop interrupting me." These are the evil thoughts that you have. And so I said, "Yes, have some potato chips." And I took the bag of chips and I moved it even closer to his chubby little face right there at the table. I said, "Take some potato chips." And I wasn't going to talk to Amy anymore until I watched him take some potato chips. And this is what he said. He said, no, Daddy, you do it. You do it. He said this, I'll never forget it. He said, "Your hand is bigger than my hand." And I remember thinking this, you know, I just sat there and I thought about it. And I was like, you know what? My father's hand is bigger than my hand. God's hand is bigger than my hand. God can bless me a whole lot better than I can bless myself. I just need to be doing what he's told me to do. I just need to be found faithful. And so I end where we began tonight. What is it that you know God wants you to do, and yet it's difficult for you to do? It would take a step of faith. In regards to missions revival, what is it that God wants you to do as a result of this conference? May God give us the humility and the courage to do what we know he wants us to do. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're just going to ask a couple questions and then turn it over to Pastor. But you're here tonight, you say, "Brother Bill, God is speaking to my heart about something specific. I do not need to know what it is, but in regards to faith, in regards to obeying, even though it may not seem logical, comfortable, or desirable, God's speaking to my heart about something I know he wants me to do. Brother Bill, will you just pray for me? Include me in your prayer. Could I see your hand? Lord bless you. Lord bless you. And you, and you, and you. Thank you. Anyone else? Brother Bill, just pray for me. God's speaking to my heart about something. Lord bless you. And you, thank you. And you, thank you. Thank you so much. Hey, I'm not one of these preachers that tries to twist people's arm to come to the front. That's between you and the Lord. But I will say this. I do believe this, that sometimes our step of faith begins with a step towards the altar. I do believe that. And you say, "Well, that makes me uncomfortable." Sometimes faith is obeying God when it's not comfortable. And so if God is speaking to you about just coming forward and just having a time of prayer, I hope that you'll have the humility and the courage to do what God wants you to do. But may God help us. Father, we love you. Thank you for these dear people. What a joy to teach from your word with these sweet people tonight. I pray that for everyone that has raised their hand, stating that you are speaking to them very specifically, that you will give them the humility and the courage to do what they know you want them to do. And I pray, Father, that as a result of this missions revival, that again, decisions will be made that will last for eternity. And we'll thank you for this opportunity in Jesus' name.